Welcome, everyone, to Heartbeat Theater. This is the sound of trouble. It will strike relentlessly, with unerring accuracy, at all men everywhere in the world, sometime in their life. To meet this challenge, wherever it strikes, whatever its nature, an ever-vigilant corps of men and women stand ready to do battle. The soldiers of the Salvation Army, with heart to God and hand to man. From Hollywood, the Salvation Army presents Heartbeat Theater. Stories of the widespread, vital, and necessary work of the dedicated men and women of this worldwide organization. This is your host, C.P. McGregor, inviting you to be our guest for the next half hour. Where is the dividing line between fact and fable? Where does the shading pass from truth to untruth? How can we be sure in this life of the difference between what is and what is not? Our story this week, Blind Vision, attempts to answer some of these questions. William Hickinbotham wrote the story, and Marvin Miller stars as Major Barton. Now, here's Act One of Blind Vision.
No. I just can't accept it, Major. I can't.
You mean you won't accept it, isn't that it, Jim?
No, Major, I can't. I simply cannot believe that there's such a thing as God. Now, it just isn't realistic.
Jim, you're a journalist. I'm surprised you don't know what the word real means.
It means anything with substance, anything solid, anything that I can feel, taste, touch, hear, or smell. Something which can be detected by the five senses, or any one of them. It doesn't mean some will-o'-the-wisp, some make-believe super-being that I've never seen. Oh, I know what real means, all right.
You know what one kind of real is, the kind that applies to material things, such as real estate. But there's another. In fact, there are several other meanings and definitions. The one which I like to keep handy is being in accordance with appearance or claim, genuine, not artificial. Philosophically speaking, having actual existence and not merely possible, apparent, or imaginary. God is real.
You quote a pretty wild Webster, Major, but I think you've got things a little mixed up. Oh, I'm not saying God doesn't serve a good purpose.
I thought you said there was no God.
Oh, now, don't try to twist my words. When I say God, I mean that supernatural being primitive man invented within some corner of his dark, superstitious mind. You know the bit. Man was afraid of the thunder and the lightning, so he imagined there was some great infallible spirit upon which he could call to perform miracles in his behalf, to save him from his own fear and from the awesome power of some itinerant thunderstorm.
So you think man created God instead of believing God created man?
Well, let's face it, Major Barton, I deal with facts. You deal with intangibles, promises. Don't you think it's likely that I'm right? That God was a convenient, although imaginary, shoulder to cry on?
I do not.
To me, God. All right, God, if you want to believe in God, then for you, he exists.
And I say to you, my friend, that whether or not you believe in God, he still exists.
In your mind, God is. In my mind, he isn't.
Did you do as you said you were going to? Did you read the Bible?
I did. I read it thoroughly, from start to finish.
And you didn't find anything on those pages that led you to believe your agnostic viewpoints might not be infallible?
I did not. All I found were inconsistencies, fairy tales, and inaccuracies.
God help you, Jim.
There is no... Oh, well, there's no point in pursuing this any further. You're entitled to your beliefs, and I think I'm entitled to mine. So let's not spoil a pleasant acquaintance with a lot of bickering over something that neither of us can prove.
You'll admit, then, that you can't prove there is no God.
No more than you can prove there is. Mind if I open the window?
Go ahead. We could use a little fresh air. Jim, suppose I can prove his existence to you, or at least help you prove it for yourself.
Well, it's nice work if you can get it, if I may borrow a title from an old song.
Oh, you only borrowed the title. Why don't you use the whole first line? Nice work if you can get it, and you can get it if you try.
You really believe that, don't you?
I believe it. And I'm sure you'll believe, too, once you've got all the facts.
Major, I have all the facts. I promised you I'd read the Bible you loaned me, and I did. I read it. And like I told you, I don't find any facts. All I find in it are kiddie stories. No facts at all. Fables.
You're about 180 degrees out of phase in the outlook department, my friend.
That's what my ex-wife used to say. I didn't agree with her either.
Maybe you should have.
If I'd have known how much alimony I was going to have to pay, I would have agreed with her, whether I believed it or not.
You know what you remind me of, Jim?
What?
A little boy who puts his hands over his eyes and says, I can't see you, so you can't see me.
Well, I'd like to believe it, but look at you. Now, you're a perfect example of the fallacy of the so-called good life.
Well, I'll grant you, I've made my share of mistakes.
Oh, and you've done more than your share of good in this world. You've devoted a whole lifetime to helping other people. Pulling them out of gutters, cleaning them up, feeding them, getting them straightened out a little bit so that they can go right back out and drink again, and you can repeat the process. You even fall off a building trying to stop some no-good tramp from ending his senseless existence. You save him, but you smash half the bones in your own body in the process, and you lose what's supposed to be, according to the poets, the greatest gift this merciful God of yours gives. You're a nice guy, okay. You're a hero, too, but you're blind. And you can check the want ads for months on end without ever seeing one for a blind hero who's a nice guy. You know what I think, Major? I think you're a noble idiot. And that makes you a walking paradox, because nobility is a fine and rare quality. But idiocy you can find almost everywhere. All you have to do is look around you and you can see it.
You forget I'm blind. I can't look around me and see idiocy.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean...
Oh, sit down, Jim. I'd like to explain something to you.
No, but I'm really sorry, Major. What I meant...
I can't look around me and see...
I said I'm sorry.
I didn't ask for an apology.
Well, you got one anyway. All I'm trying to get across to you that... Well, it's... You did a fine thing. You made a big sacrifice. And for what? What did you get out of it? Can you find any good in being blinded? Is that your God's idea of mercy and justice? How do you explain this to yourself?
It isn't easy.
I'll bet it
is. But it's not impossible. And even blindness has its advantages. God works in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. There's a reason for this.
Oh, brother, you gotta be kidding.
Why? Because I believe there's a purpose for everything that happens to those who worship their creator?
Maybe. But more likely because you could love a creator that could do a thing like this to you.
God didn't deprive me of anything, Jim. Oh, I'll admit I was tempted to lash out and blame him until I realized a very important fact.
Fact or rationalization?
Fact, Jim. I realized it a few weeks ago when one of our Mercy League workers was reading a newspaper to me. I always like to read the little fillers. You know, the little one or two line quotations at the bottom of a column.
Oh, yeah, I know. I spent many an hour dreaming them up.
Oh, get a load of me, will you? Telling a newspaper man what a filler item is.
Yeah, but not telling him what it said.
Well, it was just a little proverb or adage, whatever you want to call it. It said, I pitied myself because I had no shoes until I met a man who had no feet. It's the end of visiting hours. Can you come back tomorrow?
Yeah, in the afternoon. Any chance you can get out of here if somebody would like to take you for a little ride in that wheelchair of yours?
I think so. I'd sure enjoy getting some fresh air.
Well, you check with the doctor. If he says it's okay, I'll push.
Will do. And Jim?
Yeah?
Remember that little saying. Think about it tonight. Tomorrow I'll tell you how it helped me.
Major, you're a kook, but a nice kind of kook. See you later.
Fine, Jim. I'll see you later, too.
That was the first act of Blind Vision, starring Marvin Miller as the Major. I'd like to ask you to take time out for just a moment and let us know by card or letter that you've been listening to Heartbeat Theater and how you like it. We're not running a popularity contest, but your station, which brings you the program as a public service, likes to know that they're serving your interests. And the Salvation Army is vitally interested in having you know the kinds of work they do with your generous assistance. That's why your comments are needed and appreciated. Now, starring Marvin Miller as Major Barton, here is Act Two of Blind Vision.
Oh, come on in, Jim. I'm just dozing off here.
I'm sorry, Major. Jim won't be visiting this afternoon.
Doctor, I was expecting... I thought you...
Major, there's something you should know. It's not good news. And
what is it?
It's about your friend, Jim.
What about him?
He's been arrested.
For what? Come on, man, speak up.
It seems he ran over a little girl this morning on State Street. She's pretty seriously injured.
How did it happen?
Well, that's the worst part of it all. She ran out in front of his car. He couldn't get stopped in time.
Well, then why is he in custody? Children are careless sometimes. A driver can't be held responsible for something like that, can he?
Well, it happened in a school zone. Jim was driving 40 miles an hour in a 25-mile zone. Right now, the charge is reckless driving, speeding. But if the child dies...
Well...
Manslaughter.
How bad is she hurt?
Both legs fractured, lacerations on her head and face, and internal injuries. We still don't know the extent of the damage. However, she wasn't a very strong child to begin with, and the shock to her system has been extreme.
Can't you give me some idea of her chances?
I'm a doctor, not a fortune teller. I wouldn't venture a guess one way or another at this point. But for your friend's sake, let's hope she does live.
Let's do more than hope.
Yes, I guess you're right. Prayer might be the best thing we could do. Possibly the only thing. All right, Major. We're in the visiting room now. The prisoner should be here in a moment. Shall I stand here with you?
No, thank you, officer. I'm sure I'll be all right.
Of course, I must stay in the room.
Oh, sure, of course.
I'll just wait over by the door. If you want me, just call out.
Fine, I'll do that. Thanks again. Jim? Is that you, Jim?
Yes, it's me.
Well, sit down, please.
How are you, Jim? Did you have to come here?
Of course I did.
You haven't got enough problems of your own, I suppose.
Compared to you, I haven't any problems at all.
Compared to that poor little kid, I'm the luckiest guy in the world. And the biggest heel.
Don't condemn yourself unjustly. By the way, I talked with her doctor just before they brought me over here.
Is she getting better?
No better, no worse, just about the same.
What do they think? Will she make it?
I don't know. Nobody does.
You know what'll happen to me if she dies.
You'll be charged with manslaughter.
But I won't be tried for it. If she dies, I die.
That's no way to talk, Jim. Life is too dear to think of ending it prematurely. And besides, juries aren't inhuman, even if you should be brought to trial.
I've already been tried and convicted. There's no doubt about my guilt, at least not in my mind. And that's where the trial was conducted. The sentence depends upon her survival or her death. I've had it, Major. If I live to be 100, I'll never get over this.
Oh, sure you will, Jim. At least it won't be as painful to you as it is now. Time heals all wounds.
Not this one. I've relived those moments over and over and over again. The drive down the street, and suddenly that sweet little girl in front of the car, the blood, the twisted little legs, and the moaning and crying. The confusion. She didn't even see the car. Just smashed.
Jim, stop it.
I can't stop. Not now. And not then. I just smashed her. Oh, my God, Major. What have I done?
Take it
easy. What have I done?
Take it easy now. Try to calm down.
I'm sorry, Major.
But being sorry doesn't seem to help right now. Nothing helps.
Have you tried praying?
Oh, come on. What good would that do?
Try it and
see. Oh, what good does it ever do? Just mouthing words into a great big void isn't my idea of the way to get anything accomplished.
Then don't just mouth the words, and don't send them into a void. Pray with your heart. Ask God for strength, for courage, understanding, and mercy.
So, what if I should ask? Do you think he could ever forgive me for killing that little girl? What kind of mercy could I hope to get after doing what I've done?
In the first place, my friend, you haven't killed her.
Yeah, but for all we know, she may be dying. She may be dead right this moment.
Or she may be recovering. God is not a negative force, Jim. God is a creator, not a destroyer. Don't condemn the child in your thinking. Hope for her recovery. Rest assured that if it is God's will, she will recover. And as for the mercy...
I was breaking a law when I hit her. Now, if God is a just God, as the Bible says, then, well, I don't see how I could even ask for mercy.
But you can, and you'll get it if you ask sincerely.
Oh, I'd like to believe that.
You can believe it.
But I was breaking a law when it happened.
Were you conscious of it at the time? Did you realize you were speeding?
No. Frankly, I was thinking about something else. I didn't know how fast I was going until I happened to glance at the speedometer just before... Well, I was just about to put on the brakes when I hit her.
Well, then you didn't intend to hit her, did you?
Oh, no. Of course I didn't intend to hit her. But that isn't going to make any difference in court. I was wrong. I was breaking a speed law. And whether I intended to or not, I hit her. I can't even bring myself to consider anything but a plea of guilty. I broke the law. And that's all. It's that simple.
You broke man's law, and you'll be punished by man accordingly. But there's a difference between mankind's justice and God's justice. One must be based not only according to the individual transgression, but the prophylactic value as well. In other words, punishing you because you were speeding at the time is not the only thing involved. In addition to inflicting punishment upon you to stop you from making the same mistake again... the added severity of your punishment may serve as a deterrent to others. Now, I'm not taking exceptions to this concept of justice, but it does differ from God's justice.
In what way?
Man's justice is fallible, Jim. God's laws are infallible. You can't escape punishment when you knowingly break a divine law. You're punished the instant you realize your error. And there's no way to escape punishment from within. And another thing. As God's children, we are equal, and he judges us and our actions accordingly. Each man is blessed or punished according to his own deeds or misdeeds without fail. Therefore, it isn't necessary for God to make examples of us in the way society must. We make mistakes, we learn to recognize them, evaluate them, and eventually avoid them. We learn this as we learn that God is infinitely wise and just.
All right, Major. I accept that. Now, suppose a little girl dies. Then I've broken one of the basic commandments, right? Now, how can I hope for mercy?
We've all broken the commandments, Jim.
Yes, but this is one of the most important of all.
Is it more important than the others?
Well, isn't it?
Jesus said the first commandment was the most important, and you've been breaking that for years.
Which one is that?
Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Remember?
Well... I'll admit that I haven't worshipped God, but I haven't worshipped any others either. Oh,
but you have, Jim. You've been worshipping other gods, material gods, and crediting yourself with a wisdom greater than that of the Father. You've been looking for realism in the things which aren't real, in the true sense of the word. You've been taking all the credit for your accomplishments and denying God the thankful adoration which is rightfully his. And now you find yourself in a bind too tight to escape. And all the things you thought were real have turned against you. In fact, have become your adversaries. And so, at last, you're asking questions instead of making up answers. Now, you're intimating that you'll take your own life if the girl loses hers. And what good would that do? It only points out the complete inadequacy of your false gods. When you need help most, there's nowhere to turn. Unless you turn to the real God, the infinite, everlasting, compassionate God, the only refuge in the storm, the same storm that's bringing your fallacious idols down around your head. Talk to my God. He's your God, too. Talk to him with a sincere desire in your heart to understand what's happened and will happen to you. Ask him for mercy and forgiveness. Mean it, and he'll grant them. Then, if you have that cloak of courage and strength and wisdom to wrap around your shoulders, your life will have meaning no matter what happens in mankind's court of law. Ask, Jim, ask with love and with a contrite heart. Don't try to establish the manner in which your prayers are answered, but seek the understanding and then accept them as they come. Climb down off your pedestal, my friend. Go to God with your prayers and lay at his feet the gift of humility, and your prayers will be answered, each according to its merits and according to your needs. God knows what you need even before you ask. But to receive, you owe him the courtesy of asking. And then remember the promise that's yours. Knock on the door, and it shall be opened unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Well, Jim, how about it?
I'll try, Major.
Oh, that's all you have to do, Jim. Try.
Major.
Oh, is that you, Jim?
Yeah, you bet it is. I went up to your room, but the nurse told me I'd find you out here in the garden.
Oh, it's pleasant out here. It sounds like you're in good spirits.
Well, I feel a lot better. I've been up to see little Judy. She's much better. They think she might be able to get up in a few days.
Ah.
I just hope I'm around to see it.
Oh, when's the trial?
Well, it's not really a trial. I'm pleading guilty. But we appear in court tomorrow afternoon at 1:30.
Any idea what's going to happen to you?
No. My attorney says I could get as much as a year in jail and a large fine, or as little as a suspended sentence.
You don't seem very worried about it.
Don't kid yourself. I'm plenty worried, but the worst trial is over, at least now. Even if I do go to jail, I think I'll be better off than I was before this all happened.
Finding God has been quite an experience for you, hasn't it?
And how. You know, I wouldn't have believed I'd ever feel this way, but now, I just don't see how I ever survived without God.
You didn't. You didn't see him, but he was watching you. Remember I started to tell you once about a little newspaper filler that made such a big difference in my attitude?
Yes, I remember. You said you were feeling pretty sorry for yourself, and then you came across it. Now, what was that again?
I pitied myself because I had no shoes. Until I met...
Met a man who had no feet.
That's right. And you know who that man was?
No.
You?
Me?
That's right. Only in this case, after you helped me, I was able to help you.
How did I help you?
Oh, you came to visit me and you complained and bemoaned my situation. And suddenly I remembered that little quotation. Only in my case it was, I pitied myself because I had no eyes until I met a man who could not see.
Well, you can rest a little easier, Major. My vision is improving every day.
That was the final act of Blind Vision, starring Marvin Miller as the Major. Also heard were Jerry Hausner as Jim and Dick Nelson as the Doctor. Be sure to be with us again next week for another Heartbeat Theater story. A presentation of the Salvation Army, Heartbeat Theater is produced in Hollywood and is broadcast overseas by the Armed Forces Radio Service. Until next week, this is your host, C.P. McGregor, saying thanks for listening and have a happy week ahead.